At the top of the show here this morning, though, a new five-year farm bill is making its way to a vote in the U.S. Senate. This is the second time in a year that the legislation has cleared the Senate. Michigan Democrat Debbie Stabenow, who chairs the Senate Agriculture Committee, says the House has promised to take up the bill in mid-June. The historic legislation would do away with crop subsidies farmers have relied on since the Great Depression. It replaces it with a strong crop insurance program. The bill's movement also coincides with an immigration reform package that may soon provide a legal framework for U.S. farmers to hire migrant workers. Senator Debbie Stabenow joins us now by phone to talk about the 2013 Farm Bill and other issues. Debbie, how are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm doing well. I'm actually on the road at the moment. Yesterday we were crisscrossing the state talking with folks about the new farm bill, and actually it's a farm bill only reflects part of what it is. It's the largest investment in conservation that we make on lands, private lands owned by somebody, farmers or landowners or forests or whatever, and so there's a big effort to clean up the Great Lakes by dealing with conservation, erosion, pesticides, those kinds of things that are so important to us, and keeping the lakes clean, and nutrition and energy that we get from growing crops and using those instead of petroleum, and a whole range of things.
Yeah.
So it's all about jobs, though. You know, almost one out of four people in Michigan, they have a job connected to agriculture or the food industry. So it's a pretty big job creator for us.
You were all over the state yesterday. How much support for the bill did you encounter? How much resistance did you encounter?
Well, there's overwhelming support here in Michigan because I've worked with all of the organizations, of farm organizations, as well as conservation groups, nutrition groups, so local folks interested in things like farmers markets and local food hubs, buying locally, all those kinds of things. So there's overwhelming support. I think Michigan's on every page of this bill, no surprise, since I chair the committee. But it's gotten strong support. The problem was last time we got it all the way through the Senate, the House committee, and then the Speaker of the House, first time ever, would not take it up on the floor of that House, and it died the end of the year, so we have to go back and do it all again. So hopefully they will understand how important this is as a jobs bill and a nutrition bill and be willing to pass it this year.
The Farm Bill is historic for ending direct subsidies to U.S. farmers. Put into perspective for us why that's important and what the impact of that is likely to be.
Sure. Well, we've had a system in place that basically gives a government check depending on what you grow. And you may have high prices in good times or it may be bad times, but either way, you got a government check. Doesn't make any sense in this age of particularly when we need to be making tough choices and paying down the deficit. So I've said to folks, let's go back and look at everything, and does it make sense? Does it work? Does it duplicate other programs? And let's move to a risk-based system, meaning if you have a loss, if you have a risk, then we ought to be supporting our farmers. We have the safest, most affordable food supply in the world that because of farmers who are willing to take big risks in the weather, you know, the one thing we can't control, the weather. So we have a stake in this, but let's do it through insurance where we partner with farmers to make sure they have affordable insurance, and then there is no payout unless you have a loss, unless there's a disaster. So that makes a whole lot more sense than just giving subsidies. So by making that change, as well as doing a lot of other streamlining and consolidating, we're actually saving $24 billion in savings to pay down the debt.
Are you happy with what came out of your committee, though, and with the current debate in the Senate?
I am. I think that, there's always a debate about whether or not we ought to be supporting farmers and ranchers. And there's some folks that want to dramatically cut help to families who need food help when they have their own personal disaster. But we've been able to keep this bill in good shape, balanced. It's got broad bipartisan support, and I'm very happy with the direction that it's going in the Senate.
The bill has also been criticized and in some quarters very intensely. An economics columnist for the Guardian newspaper in Britain, Heidi Moore, calls it maybe, quote, the most harmful piece of economic legislation in America in years, unquote, for its food stamp cuts, the Vitter Amendment, and other features of the bill. Did you make concessions that you seriously disagreed with?
No, actually, I should say, and I totally disagree with that. I mean, as she may be wanting to talk about the House of Representatives that has done dramatic cuts in food assistance for families, but we have done nothing that gets in the way of someone who really needs help being able to get help for their family. We have gone after some fraud issues, though, and areas of abuse. You know, we've had a couple of folks in Michigan, at least, who won the lottery and were able to get food assistance, and obviously that's not what it was intended for. And we've had some retail fraud and other things. So we've tightened up on the fraud areas, a couple areas of misuse, and been able to save about $4 billion by doing that while not touching at all the regular help and benefits that families get when they have an economic downturn. Now, the House has passed twice their budget over 10 years, which cuts over $130 billion in food help. In fact, block grants it to the states, cuts it, and then says you don't have to use it for food. So our effort to do some streamlining and cut $4 billion exactly what ought to be done. We need to make sure we've got integrity in programs, that they go to folks who really need help, but that we're there when folks do need help, just like we're there for farmers. And crop insurance is there when there's a disaster for a farmer. Food help is there when there's a disaster for a family.
You said $130 billion in cuts to food stamps in the House, but didn't
yes.
the bill that emerged from your committee include $20 billion in food stamp cuts?
No, actually, that's what the House did. It's confusing because there's a lot of different numbers. The House passed a budget with $132 billion over 10 years. The House Agriculture Committee cut $20 billion from food assistance. So we did not do that. They actually cut benefits, cut help. We didn't do that. So we've tackled some, as I said, abuse issues and saved $4 billion without cutting assistance to families.
Okay. No cuts in food stamps from the bill that emerged from the Senate Agriculture Committee.
Well, we have savings by cutting out some areas of abuse, but we do not cut the benefit levels for families.
Okay.
Right.
The Vitter Amendment, let's talk about that for a second. That would apparently prohibit food stamps for life to anyone convicted of a violent felony. You introduced that amendment, correct?
Senator Vitter introduced an amendment. We intend to fix that. It will not be in the final bill. It's something that needs to be... It has unintended consequences going forward, so we'll be working together to address the concerns there.
Tell us about the unintended consequences.
Well, the fact that over a lifetime, even after someone has served their sentence, evidently would stop them somewhere in the future from getting help. So that's something that needs to be corrected.
One thing
if someone's in prison. It's another thing if they've served their time. So that's something that will be we're working on some language to address it.
Do you think
it's certainly not a policy I support. It's not a policy I support.
But do you think the elimination of the Vitter Amendment would survive the Senate and the House and be signed by President Obama?
I'm sorry, the elimination of it?
I mean, if you eliminated or toned down the terms of the Vitter Amendment, would that clear the House?
If we eliminated it, it's not something that's been widely debated. It came up at the last minute, and I don't think it's something that's integral to the bill at all in the House or the Senate.
Ms. Moore of The Guardian also criticized what's called the Monsanto Protection Act, which she claims pushes genetically modified food at the expense of public health. There was also a demonstration at the state capitol here in Lansing over the weekend from people who are against the Monsanto, what's called the Monsanto Protection Act. Did you support or oppose that?
That's not in our bill. There's no bill called the Monsanto Protection Act, I don't believe, but we don't have anything in the Farm Bill related to this in terms of the FDA oversees safety and needs to make sure that they're monitoring and requiring labeling, or if there's a problem in terms of safety, that things are taken off the market. So I think what they're referring to is in the appropriations process last year, the House put in some language that folks that don't support genetically modified foods disagreed with. It was in the appropriations process. But we don't have anything in the Farm Bill that addresses that.
If half of what I read about the Farm Bill is true, I get the impression you could write a 1,000-page novel about this chapter, this chapter alone of your political career. How contentious has this process been?
Well, there's always lots of different views, and truthfully, there's lots of different, sometimes misinformation about what's happening as well that you have to wade through. The good news is that we actually sat down and passed a bipartisan bill. So it came out of committee 15-5, and we'll pass the Senate next week with a strong bipartisan vote. So it's good for Michigan. As I said, we have done some historic things to promote conservation, water conservation, protecting our lands, and a new Great Lakes Regional Conservation Initiative that's great for us. We're supporting all farmers, not just some. We make sure our fruit and vegetable growers, our small farmers are supported, as well as larger farmers, which is great for Michigan. And we do some things around promoting use of agricultural products and byproducts to replace petroleum in manufacturing processes, things that some of our car companies have been doing now for years. And if you drive own a Ford vehicle today and you buy a Ford vehicle today, you're actually sitting on soybeans in the seats because they're using soy oil for the foam rather than petroleum oil. So there's a lot of new ways that we can create biodegradable products that are better for the environment, create jobs for us, and get us off of foreign oil, and all of that's part of the Farm Bill.
Yesterday in Sparta, Debbie, you said you expressed doubts about the future of the Farm Bill in the House, where you referred to the Tea Party wing of the Republican caucus not believing a Farm Bill is even needed. Tell us more about that.
Well, I was asked about what the obstacles were in the House and why the Speaker didn't take the bill up last year, and I said it was because there's a group of folks that just say no to everything and don't think we ought to support farmers, even though they have the riskiest business in the world, that there shouldn't be crop insurance, we shouldn't have conservation efforts, we shouldn't have nutrition efforts, and so on. And so the good news is, though, I think there's a bipartisan group now in the House that's going to be able to overcome that. So I'm very hopeful.
Do you expect Gary Peters to join you in the Senate representing Michigan?
I'm sure hopeful he will be. He's terrific. He and I have worked both on the auto rescue and new technologies, and he's a great guy, a hard worker, very much focused on, he's all about Michigan and, fighting for the middle class. So I'm hoping he's going to join me.
Would you expect former Congressman Mark Schauer to prevail over Governor Rick Snyder next year if it indeed comes to that?
Well, I'm a big fan of Mark's. I think Mark Schauer is another person who's got the right values and perspectives, and he's going to do a great job, and I think he can win. I think he'll run a strong race, and again, we worked with him on the auto rescue, worked with him when he was a leader in the Senate, a state Senate majority, and very smart, a guy with a good head on his shoulders, and he's also all about Michigan, so that's good.
We're talking with Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow here on Current State. Some high-ranking members of your own party have recently had some worrisome things to say about the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Senator Reid and Senator Baucus both used a train wreck allusion to refer to possible funding challenges. How badly could states like Michigan hang up the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, actually, well, first of all, for folks who have insurance, most of the Affordable Care Act has already taken effect. Being able to keep your children on your insurance to age 26 or get preventative care without co-pays, and the idea that the insurance company now has got to spend at least 80% of their of every dollar you pay in a premium on medical care, and if they spend less than that, you get a rebate. A lot of folks got rebate checks last August, so most of that's taken effect. The big thing now is for minimum wage workers who would benefit in Michigan, and their small business employers would benefit if the state of Michigan adopted the expansion of Medicaid, which would cover minimum wage workers. That would help our small businesses and workers tremendously. And the new competition, the new pool that's coming into effect, is going to create more competition to lower rates for our small businesses. So my guess is, though, there'll be some things that need to be worked on. I think the comments that were made were not that there would be, in fact, a problem, but that we need to make sure it's implemented and people have the information that they need so that they can get the we make sure it is implemented correctly.
But that Medicaid expansion, would you say that's crucial to its successful implementation?
I think it's very, very important, and I'm very, very disturbed that it looks like the legislature is not going to agree to move forward on this. This is critical for our small businesses. All of our small businesses that have minimum wage workers have the opportunity to potentially be covered under Medicaid. If not, the small business will incur the cost of health care coverage. And so it's very much a small business issue in Michigan. And I know that's why the Small Business Association of Michigan and the State Chamber have been very involved in advocating that the state accept what is 100% funding, that no cost to the state, that would help our small businesses and help our minimum wage workers.
We've been talking with Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow. Debbie, thanks for joining us here on Current State. We'll talk again soon.
Great. Good to talk to you.